Welcome back to another episode of Two Words, Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast. My name's Michael, and as always, I'm sat here with my cousin Will. Sunday morning, mate. Bit of a quiet weekend for both of us. Man flu's got the best of me, certainly, and it sounds like it's got the best of you as well. Quiet Saturday night. Bit of a busy Friday night, though. Trip down to Bath. How's your weekend going? How are you feeling?
You know what? When I'm lazy, I get really frustrated with myself. I'm not very good at just relaxing, especially by myself. I have to do it with somebody or just not be relaxing at all. I just have to be busy. But because I've been slightly under the weather, I've actually quite enjoyed just chilling in bed and watching a load of sport and being involved in conversations online on Twitter and Instagram, etc. And the WhatsApp groups popping off, particularly in our Quins one this week with other results going our way, Bristol and Leicester drawing, Northampton not getting any points away at Gloucester. Everything seems to be going our way. And then obviously the main event of the weekend for me, the Friday night away fixture in Bath, which I wasn't originally planning to go to, but there was a spare ticket knocking around. And who am I to say no to a spare ticket?
No Sunday game this weekend as well. So all the results are in.
There's a couple of Prem Cup games, isn't there? Which is bizarre.
Yeah, but no Sunday game.
Bristol are playing again. Or is it Gloucester?
I think Gloucester
are playing again.
I can't remember how it works, but yeah, no Sunday Prem game this weekend. Obviously, that might be a bit of a scheduling with the football, might be a smart-ish move from the Premiership to maybe not schedule it around the World Cup. But yeah, no Sunday game. So the results are all in after the weekend. And Joe Marler said it in his interview afterwards, we're not looking too bad at the minute. We're sitting in third, 2 points behind Sale, 4 points clear of Gloucester, hunting down that home semi. We will talk about Bath a little bit later on, and the sort of parameters around what's happening in the league. We're also going to talk about Europe, our European slash African slash world.
Which Joe Marler also referenced in that interview.
We're going to Europe. Where are we going? Natal, Durban. Great. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit as well. And we're going to have a little bit of a debate around some Premiership title winning sides. But we will start on what is actually going to be pretty much a month to the day that this comes out. We're about, well, almost a month till Christmas. The main event, obviously, around Christmas is big game. You've now got your tickets sorted.
Yeah, I got my tickets this week.
As have 60,000 others with still a month left to go. It's going to be a sellout. I've had so many people that obviously know our connection with Quins and do the podcast and stuff. Oh, you're going to big game. You're going to big game. Of course I'm going to big game. People that are going, live in the area around where I live, Twickenham, Teddington, Richmond, oh, we're going to big game, we're going to big game. And I've got mates who live at home who I haven't seen for a few years, dropping me texts, oh, mate, you're going to big game, catch you for beer. And I was like, of course I'm going to big game. Best day of the year, massive family day out, huge day for the club. Excited for that one?
Oh, massively excited. I'm actually going with my dad, so it's just us two. And he doesn't live in England, he lives in Gibraltar, so it'd be a little bit of a boys' day out, which we're long overdue, so I'm looking forward to that. We've done a few big games in the past as well, so I know how you and your lads like to get together for it and come up from Brighton as a big crew and sit together and go big. I've typically done it just me and my dad having a little wholesome boys' day out, so more of the same there. One thing I'm really looking forward to about it as well is the fact that we're playing Bristol. I've never normally looked at the opposition and thought, cool, this is going to be good. I know Northampton was a great one last year because it was tit for tat, joué. Bristol are a little bit like that, but also they just seem to be finding a little bit of form right now and still look very, very beatable. So it looks like a good fixture for us where we could almost get caught up in a little bit more of the joué nature of last year's big game where I think we can beat anybody. Bristol are going to make it a little bit of a contest. I'm very confident we'll get the result. I think the Leicester result they got last weekend in the draw, I mean, take of that what you will. I still see them as very beatable. They're sat bottom of the Premiership table. We're going into two weekends of European rugby now. I'm not sure if they're home or away before big game. Obviously, we're home to Racing. Do you know whether they're home or away? Because I'm sure that'll be a factor.
That will be a factor. I could check right now. But what I will say is, we've had some pretty big battles against Bristol in the past. Obviously, the miracle of Bristol Ball lives fondly in the memory of all those that watched it and the Bristol 500 that were there. The second half comeback on a Friday night at the Stoop last season. King Collier with a dummy running in from 25 yards. Marcus's, chip and chase when he came on after 20 minutes after being away with England a little bit. But yeah, it was a big battle in the last couple of years that we've had with Bristol, and they are just maybe finding a little bit of form.
Yeah.
They've still got some world-class talent. It is a little bit surprising to see that they are still down, you know, bottom of the pile almost. There's 3 points tied on 17, Newcastle, London Irish and Bristol. But yeah, it's amazing to see them down there given the strength in their squad.
Yeah, I've just checked the fixtures they've got in Europe as well. They're obviously in the Challenge Cup because they had a fairly poor season last year. They've got Perpignan away this weekend. Of course, our good friend Tex Kebabati. And a couple of Wasps boys in there as well now, with Ali Crossdale at fullback and Brad Shields at six. So an interesting matchup there. But then they are actually at home the weekend before big game. They've got Zebra at home, which is still a tough contest. The Italian outfits are looking pretty decent these days. So yeah, we'll see what comes of the fixtures before. We haven't got an easy one, that's for sure, with Racing. So fingers crossed we can keep bodies fit and ready and raring to go. One person that we know probably won't be available is Marcus Smith, by the look of it.
Yeah.
I've seen the cryo chamber or therapy tent, whatever it is, popped up in his house at home, which can only mean he's going to be in it quite a lot for the next few weeks. Luke Northmore's just had surgery on his wrist again. We don't have any updates on Tyrone Green or Will Collier or Lewis Liner, but it does look like Steph Louise might be returning soon. Do you think he'll be involved with Europe? Or do you think it'll be a new year job, or is he eyeing up big game?
I don't know, but they did put out that photo of him on social media this week of him with the European rugby ball.
Oh, we need to talk about that. The European Cup launch, which looked like the most budget preschool kind of photo shoot ever, where they just got shipped everybody over from all the different teams, stuck them in front of a load of trees, put up two tackle bags or post protectors either side, and then got 12 full-grown men, international rugby players, to sit with their legs crossed like schoolgirls, which was bizarre. I cannot believe that we've just done that in our sport. Look at the Champions League. You'd never get anything like that. It's a real shame that we've just done that. But yeah, as you say, Steph was involved with that. Our club captain, we sent him down. But the caption in that post by the club looked teasing.
Yeah.
Back soon.
And he also put something on his own social media saying, looking forward to getting back playing some rugby.
He did.
I wonder whether that will be back in South Africa.
Yeah, because he used to play for the Sharks, didn't he? So if there was ever a game for him to return for, Sharks away could probably be it. I mean, you'd really want to play in that one, wouldn't you? I mean, it is this weekend, so I don't know how realistic that is. But the home leg of that would definitely be one you'd want to play in.
Yeah, sometimes those storylines write themselves, don't they? The club captain's been out for a long time. Split kneecap, I think, was the injury that he had. And I did speak to him, actually, in the grounds towards the start of the season, actually. I can't remember when it was. It might have been the Leicester game. Bumped into him sort of milling around the North Stand bar, and I said, how things tracking, mate? And he said, bit of a waiting game. Didn't give a huge amount away. But yeah, that'd
obviously
be pretty cool. That'd be pretty
he knows you do a fan podcast.
But yeah, that'd be pretty cool to see him back. But just again, touching back onto big game, the doubleheader this year as well. Last year's doubleheader was such a big success. The most watched in terms of fan attendance women's game in this country, I think. Not sure at that stage whether it was global, but obviously we've had the success of the World Cup. Certainly domestically it was at the time. Bristol beat DMP this weekend, 84-12. But the Quimmin, Harlequins women, big win over the Saris girls on Saturday afternoon at the Stoop. Rosie Gallagher returned to the fold from World Cup duty. We're still a little
she was
bit,
the only one that did, wasn't she?
The only
I think
one that did, yeah.
That's got to be a request that she's put in. She also seems like the type of person that doesn't want to sit and dwell and think about a setback too much, such as the World Cup final. She just wants to get straight back into the mix. Doesn't want the rest. Get me back in there. Bit like what we were saying about Marcus after the Autumn Nations. Doesn't want to sit back and relax. Just get me straight back in there if it wasn't for that injury. So good to see her back in the mix. A 19-10 win at home to Saracens women, where I think I've seen try of the season already. New recruit, Australian Bella McKenzie, going 55, 60 plus meters, having started the move and then finished it off, skinning a few people on the outside and dotting down. So a brilliant result there that is probably quite needed at this point in the season. We'd won one, we'd lost one. A little bit uncertain about where we were going with our season. A few big names still missing. Take the points when you can get them. A big dub over our London rivals. And as you say, we're up against Bristol at big game 14 in both the men's and the women's games. They got a big home win against DMP Sharks. We don't read into those results too much. It is a shame. I don't want to disrespect the Sharks too much, but they do take a 50-plus point drubbing every week.
Yeah.
So We'll see what comes of that fixture. Bristol are a great outfit. They have just lost Leanne and Fanse, our former number nine, who went to Bristol and has actually now gone to Saracens. So yeah. Saracens are looking pretty tasty going into the second part of the season, that's for sure, because they're going to have a whole host of England players back, as will we. New recruit, Bryony Cleal, packing down at prop for us, played against us in the big game last year for Wasps. So she's got experience in that game already. How are you seeing that one pan out?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that. Bryony, I think, was player of the match in her first appearance the other week as well. We've got Sale away.
And she got another try.
Yeah, we've got Sale away and then... No, sorry, we've got Sale at home and then Exeter away pre-big game. It would be brilliant to have those international players back. Obviously, we've had a couple of good results. Beating Sarries, no matter who's on the pitch, it's always a huge result. But yeah, it'd be amazing to get Vicky Cornborough back, Shauna Brown, Lucy Packer, Ali Kildan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully, it's another massive result in the next couple of weeks. And then if we can sort of double up that attendance that we did last year against Wasps, see if we can get it up into the 20s and 30s, that'd be amazing. So we'll see how that pans out. Keep an eye on the scores, see how they're tracking. And gear up for a doubleheader at big game.
That result puts us sixth in the table on 9 points, just below Saracens, who are in fifth on 10, and Bristol Bears are actually in fourth also on 10. Of course, they've only been 3 games played because of the Women's World Cup that took place over October and November. So tricky to read into any of the teams at this stage, particularly with players missing, but we're in the mix. We're in the mix.
Big time. Let's move on then. Just before we start talking about our European campaign, you've got a bit of a comparison game. Now, this is something we've spoken about a little bit in the last sort of couple of weeks, talking about players from different eras. And it maybe is a little bit blue sky thinking in terms of maybe we might double up again this year and have another Premiership winning title side, but we're going to compare.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a lot of similarities between 2021 and if we do it this year. But I remember having a conversation not too long ago about Jack Kenningham at six and how there's a lot of similarities with Rob Shaw and how he's adapted his game from when he was previously playing seven, nicknamed the Labrador, or fetching the ball back for us. Slightly different role at six now, a little bit more of a workhorse, carrying, tackling, clocking up the meters around the pitch. And it just made me think if we had to do some head-to-heads between our two title-winning sides, what is our dream Quinns 15? And it is a humdinger. Wow, it is. There's a few that have obviously played in both, which makes it a little bit easier for us. But I want to play this game with you now, 1 to 15. Our 2012 Premiership winning champions and our 2021 Premiership winning champions as well. The ultimate dream combined 15. So we're going to go through it. Number one picks himself,
yeah.
Joe Marler. Played in both. At hooker, you have got from 2021, Scott Baldwin.
How good was Scott Baldwin?
We miss Scott Baldwin. Or from 2012, Joe Gray.
Wow, that might be one of the toughest selections across
the world. No, it's not. They're all tough. They're all tough.
I love Scott Baldwin.
I really like Scott Baldwin.
Wow.
For the record, this isn't as club men. This is from the fixture in 2012 and the fixture in 2021.
I was about to say, you see this quite a lot. I see that Sport Bible do those, you know, player comparisons.
Yes.
Like talking about,
yes,
you know, Diggs or Ronaldo from the sort of that era or this era. Do you talk about them in specific years or do you talk about them across the longevity?
Or ahead of a derby. It's like the combined Manchester 11, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Wow.
It's hard, isn't it? Because I think the way that we played in 2021, Scott Baldwin fitted that team perfectly. And he's a very different type of hooker to Joe Gray, but he also fitted that 2012 team perfectly.
Joe Gray was also on the bench in 2021 as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, wow. For that reason, I think I'd probably go with Joe Gray.
Yeah, I think Gray. I love Scott Baldwin, but I think Joe Gray.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it doesn't get any easier, mate.
Yeah.
Tight head. 2012, James Johnston. 2021, Wilco Lowe. Or, curveball, on the bench in both games, Will Collier.
Wow! James Johnston, again, loved him. I wonder how many caps James Johnston had for Quinns at the time.
Mm. Well, also, with Wilco Lowe, he actually scored in the final, so...
Yeah, that's a great point. I think
Will Collier played in both and won both.
I think I'd go with Wilco just for that try.
Would you?
Yeah. I remember that try.
Oh.
I watched it the other day, actually, when obviously when the news came out that Wilco was going, I watched it the other day where he almost carries himself with about two or three players. It looks like his arse is about to touch the floor, and then he just sort of swivels his hips and
Yeah.
lands over the line. I
Yeah.
think I'd go with Wilco Lowe.
He was amazing on Friday night against Bath as well, actually.
Yeah. James Johnston played 102 times for us in those 4 years he was with us.
I'm actually going
2009,
to disagree with you,
2013.
though. I think we're not talking about Will Collier enough. I think we've got an all front row of Marler, Gray, and Collier that have won two Premiership titles.
I'm happy to take that as well. I'm happy to, honestly, I'm happy to accept it. But for just for that moment with Wilco Lowe, that try, that he'd get my vote just for that moment alone.
Oh, okay. We'll let the people decide. I'm going Collier. Let's speed this up because we've only done the
Yeah.
front row. Second row, 2012, Ollie Cone, George Robson, the GOAT. 2021, Matt Simo and Steph Louise, the captain.
Jesus. I'd go with Steph just because he was captain, and that is tough on Ollie Cone. And I absolutely loved Simo as well, but I loved the GOAT even more.
Yeah, God, it's hard, isn't it? Similar with the goat.
I'll go George Robson. Brilliant lineup operator as well, George Robson. But I'd go with Steph
Yeah.
just because he had the armband on the day.
So you're going Steph and George Robson.
But equally, if you gave me Ollie Cone and Simo, I'd take it.
See, I think you've picked two of the same players there. I think Cone and Simo are kind of the heavy enforcers. And then you've got Steph and Robson that are quite similar
I think
in
they are, but
stature.
I think they are, but I'd still go with them.
I think I'd go. Oh, I don't know.
No, I'd
I'm just
go.
going to go with what you say.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go with what you say.
Steph and GOAT. That'd be my
Okay.
pick. The captain and the
Yeah.
GOAT.
Okay. It doesn't get any easier. Maybe we just do the forward pack this week and next week we'll do the backs. But it doesn't get any easier, mate. 2012, Mo Farsalu, Chris Robshaw, and Nick Easter. 2021, James Chisholm, Jack Kenningham, and Alex Dombrandt.
This is horrible.
How important was
Wow.
James Chisholm for us in the last two games of that
I was
season, the
just about to
semi-final and
say,
that final?
James Chisholm got himself that start with his performance off the bench in the semi.
Yeah, I think people listening to this, if you weren't thinking about those two games in particular, you'd be like, it's a no-brainer, it's Mo Farsalu. But those two games, he was just different level, wasn't he? That's why we miss him so much. We could do with that heavy ball-carrying enforcer in the back row again. We don't have that with Kenners or Webb. There's a lot of reliance on Dommers to be the ball carrying player in our back row.
Robshaw has to be in there, although Jackie Kenningham was, just on his meteoric rise at that point. Robshaw obviously has
Yeah.
to play.
Yeah. Robshaw
Six
scored in his final as well.
is an absolute coin toss.
Yeah.
And then number eight, do you take Dom Brandt's try off the inside ball from Marcus
Yeah,
or
that for me,
Minter?
I can picture that clear as day right now. I'm looking up at the ceiling and I'm watching it back in high definition. I can see it.
Or do you
The
pick
fist
Mint?
bump celebration running down the dead ball line. I'm going Alex Dombrandt at eight.
Or do you pick Minty for his post-game song?
And the cigar.
Yeah, so I've
Can we do
always,
80 minute? Can they do a half
yeah,
each?
I've got a bit of a sort of love affair with the 2021 side because I wasn't at the final in 2012.
See, I was at both, but I've got a similar love affair just because I felt so connected to that team, probably because of the ages we were at and the fact that we'd done the podcast. But I just think the way we played needed an Alex Dombrandt at number eight. Whereas the way we played in 2012, I feel like Dombrandt was more important to the 2021 team as opposed to Nick Easter in the 2012 team. But
I don't know. Easter was pretty instrumental. I think I'd like to
he
get a
was, of
mix.
course he was, of course he was, but just in relative terms, in comparison, if we didn't have Alex Dombrandt at number eight in 2021, I mean, I'm not going to say we wouldn't have won, but it would have been a
I'm gonna go for a mix. I'm gonna go Big Mo at six, Robbo at seven, Dom Brandt at eight, and
yeah, I agree.
I'm saying that through gritted teeth, losing
Yeah, I
while leaving
agree.
out
No, I
Minty.
told you it was a nasty game.
Yeah,
It's a horrible game.
we'll do the backs next week then.
Yeah, okay. I need a break after that anyway.
God, that's making my head hurt. Let's
So
move on
just to
to,
confirm our
yeah, go on
team there,
then.
just to
Yeah,
confirm
go
our team, Joe Marler, Joe Gray, Will Collier, George Robson, Steph Louise, Mo Farsalu, Chris Robshaw, Alex Dombrandt. a bloody good team.
And you've got Wilco Loeb coming off the bench. Who'd you pick coming off the bench? Who'd you pick coming off the bench at second row? Do you pick?
Because you can only have one. You're horrible.
Off the bench, do you pick Simo or Ollie Cohn off the bench? And obviously Minty comes on in the back row.
I think Simo.
Wow. Yeah, probably. Oh, Ollie Cohn. Simo. Hello.
He was our dog.
The general.
Yeah.
The general or the general or the Jolly Hog.
I love Jolly Hog. That's the biggest L the Stoop has ever taken is losing the Jolly Hog from match day experience.
Well, let's move on. Before we start looking ahead to Europe, let's talk about Friday night. Now,
yes.
We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, one of my favourite away days last year. We both did it together, but in separate parts of the ground, caught up afterwards. I stayed for the night and had a few beers, etc. Raced down on the train after work. I looked at it a couple of weeks, two, 3 weeks ago, and I just couldn't quite manage it at the time. I had a really busy Friday at work. Couldn't get out of there till about 4:30, so I wasn't really going to get into Bath till about 7:30. Plus, racing for the train back after would have been a bit of a nightmare. But you lucky sausage, managed to wiggle yourself a ticket last minute and get down there, which I was immensely jealous about.
You lucky jelly hog. Yeah, no, very, very lucky. Our good friends, the Morgans, had a spare ticket, and who are we to say no to a spare ticket? I actually had Thursday and Friday off this week anyway. I just had annual leave to use, and it's sort of a quieter time at the moment for me to cash them in. But as you can probably hear, and as we mentioned already, I've been under the weather, so I didn't really do anything with my time off. And it was getting to the point, Friday morning, still felt a little bit rough, but I didn't want to waste all my annual leave. I didn't want to waste my weekend. I wasn't going to play rugby on Saturday because I had a mate's birthday pub crawl, which I was too ill to go to anyway. So quite pleased that I took up the ticket, got the 3 o'clock train from Paddington to Bath Spa, had a few beers in several different pubs down there. Nice little stroll to the game, had a hot dog, had a pasty, and got off to a fairly good start watching the game with Dom Brandt crashing over within the first 5 minutes. So we had the drum with us. We were singing away. We were in a little Quinn's contingent in that stand. I think it's called the Dyson stand, without any cover. Freezing, freezing cold, which probably didn't help my health. But a brilliant trip, to be honest. Very spontaneous, very unexpected, with a good crowd to a brilliant part of the world. It's a stadium that is no better than Saracen's Scaffolding Stadium, but in a beautiful, beautiful town right next to the river, right next to the castle. We talk about it all the time. You'd have heard us mention it on Twitter and in previous episodes, but I just love going down there. So if they did that stadium up properly, I think it'd be unbelievable. It'd be a real, real rugby castle, I suppose. But I think the way we kicked off the game was exactly what we needed as a way of travelling support, because it was cold, it was dark. It just had a little bit of a feel that it might happen in similar vein to what happened previous season, where we just lost and nothing was going our way. But to get that early score kind of settled a few nerves and allowed us to really kick on as a fan group with the drum and the songs as well as on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first 15, 20 minutes on my phone. I was at an AGM for the cricket club on Friday night, so I was sort of in a more occupational sense, not really keeping too much of an eye on the game. But I watched the first 20 minutes before I lost all my signal and all that sort of stuff. But it did look like we started nicely. It looked like the line-out operated quite well in the first 10, 15 minutes, which was good to see. Jack Walker, the King of Bath, returning to his former club. And it did actually look to me like the tight five might have been where we had a little bit of dominance on the team sheet pre-game. They had Morozov, Dunn and Darcy Ray, Dave Atwood, who's joined from Bristol, and Fergus Lee Warner. It just looked like we had a little bit more in that tight five. A little bit of quality, although they did have Ted Hill across the back row, which made for a pretty exciting matchup. But it felt like we just seemed to start the game nicely. And is there anyone better running short lines off a shoulder, taking crash balls, than Alex Dombrandt in the Premiership? He just hits the line so, so brilliantly. And Ali Eakin, I think, mentioned it on commentary, although actually, I think it was Nick Mullins. If it's not Esterhazen, it's more often than not Dombrandt.
It's exactly what I was about to say. And it goes back to my point earlier about our ball carrying back rowers. We're so reliant on him there, and he's just so good at it. The angles he picks, the speed at which he runs at, he can target weak shoulders and knock people off balance and carry people with him. So I thought Esterhazen actually carried well all game. He was a constant threat, and Ugo Monier in particular called that out later on for Nick David's try. But Alex Dombrandt is just unrivaled at doing that kind of carry, and I'm looking forward to getting somebody like James Chisholm back at six so he can provide a little bit of support there. Because if you've got two threats like that in the back row, it's only going to create more space for Domers. And we spoke about it after the game. Will Evans stepped up as well. He carried fairly well. And he's got the occasional bust in him. But Dom Brand, unrivaled, crashes under the sticks. The perfect start.
I think our back row is so settled at the minute, I wouldn't change Ken Webb and Dom Brandt just to make sure we had an extra carrier. But it does seem like we do lack a little bit of punch.
I think someone might need a rest, though.
Yeah,
I think someone might need...
That
trio have gone every game for the last couple of months, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, Dom Brandt missed a bit of rugby and Archie White played a lot. But, I mean, Archie White did brilliantly. But it does seem like we just lack a little bit of punch off the bench. Obviously, Tom Lauder hasn't played a huge amount. He was back in the mix of the Prem Cup a couple of weeks ago, post-Bar.
He was actually in the stands with us at Bath.
Was he?
Tom Lauder and Charlie Matthews, yeah.
Oh, class.
Yeah, very cool.
But yeah, Chisholm or Lauder off the bench just to add a little bit more support to Dom Brent in that back row. Obviously, Joe Marler carries like a bloody Trojan horse a lot of the time. 14 carries,
does.
I think
he was. He's smart with his carries, though, because he knows the condition he's in, the age he's at, the role he plays within the team. He's not an all-out dominant ball carrier that sort of busts through tackles and carries hard and hits the line at speed. He's more of a tactician and keeping us in our 22 so we can kick clear and just setting up the next phase. And I think we're very reliant on Dom Brandt to bust the line and maybe off the bench, Chisholm, if you give Kenningham a rest, then starting with Chisholm gives you a little bit more go forward.
The other selection surprise on the weekend was the fact that Oscar Beard is starting at 13 in the absence of Joe Marchant, who I believe actually was rested for the game. That's not an injury concern, that was a rest. But then we also saw on social media in the last couple of days that Luke Northmore has been screwed up, so he's going to miss some rugby. So that might have been a bit of a tactical thing, knowing that Marchant's going to play a lot in the next few weeks. Big trips to Europe, big game coming up, etc. Maybe just was a bit fatigued, played a lot of rugby.
That's a good point, actually.
And maybe they would just said, look, we'll give Joe a reek off. We're going to lose Luke Northmore for a while. Let's get Oscar Beard in the side. We've got a lot of time for Oscar Beard. He's got a lot of promise. Plays wing, plays at 13 more naturally. Got his try with an explosive step off the left foot.
but why? What are you doing? Go for the corner.
Nah, I liked it. I enjoyed
what?
That.
It's lucky he scored it. He had to score that.
Said on commentary, he was like, just wanted to up his stats, defenders beating to beat two or three more on the way through.
How good is Beard's feet? Makes the initial break, finishes it off, both of them with outstanding footwork.
Yeah. I reckon he could have gone to the corner, but perhaps just wanted to up his in-game stats, just another couple of defenders beaten. But
yeah, and he did. I think it was three in the end, wasn't it? But yeah, that is a brilliant description for that left-footed step. It's explosive, isn't it? You can almost picture it now where he's got his left leg fully extended, the right leg bent, just bounces off it and leaves one person behind and then breaks through two others. He's going to be good for us, isn't he? I think it's almost a glimpse into the future with Marchant away. Little bit concerned about how injury prone Luke Northmore is. Oscar Big could be getting a lot of caps at 13 this season, let alone next season. So he performed well. We know how aggressive he is as well. He tackles well, very hard to beat him in defence. Keen to see more of him. I think even this week, Sharks, Marchant will come back in at 13, but give him the 23 shirt.
Made a really good point with Joe leaving. It's good to see him getting some more rugby. Obviously, we want to get as much out of Joe as we can before he, you know, flies off to wherever he's going to be going. But with Luke injured, we want to see more of Oscar Beard, and it's brilliant that we are seeing him, and it's brilliant that he's putting in performances like that. I think he was man of the match as well for us, 40%, I think, on the Twitter poll I saw.
It's weird, isn't it, how every bond does different man of the matches. So the BT man of the match was Joe Marler, the Quinns man of the match was Oscar Beard, and the Bath man of the match was Ted Hill. So
there you go.
I think that probably goes to show there was no real standout player, but his try was exceptionally well taken.
Yeah.
And in defence, unmoved.
Half time then, 12-3 up, two scores. How are you feeling at that stage?
Conflicted, actually, because they'd missed two fairly straightforward penalties from right in front. So it should have been 12-9. And actually, we probably left a score out there because we were all over in the first half. First half was great to watch. They were scoring down our end. We got two tries from it and we probably could have taken a little bit more. There was one moment where I thought we might take three just to extend the lead to 15-3 going into half time. We didn't do that, but 12-3 feeling good, I think, in comparison to last season. We've got a healthy lead on them. We're a second half team. something would have to go drastically wrong now to lose this one, and it nearly did.
Any half-time snacks at the Rec? Anything good on offer?
What did I do at half-time? I went to their little shed toilet thing underneath the scaffolding stand that one loose pipe, and you'd have been in quite an uncomfortable bath. Pardon the pun. No snacks, just a pint. Guinness.
Decent.
Kind of doubles up as a snack, doesn't it,
Guinness? Do they have the old double jugs like they did when I was down there?
They did, yeah. Didn't get involved with them, just had the pints.
Okay. I had a couple of big doubles last year, but maybe that's because I was having a few more.
The seats, there just was no leg room, really. So any pint that you did have, you had to guard it with your life, because any slight nudge and it was gone.
Not great.
No leg room at all. Poor Gar sat next to me with the drum, banging away at the drum. Had nowhere to put it. Managed to cut his finger on it as he was hitting the drum, just because he didn't have the arm room. Just surprised he didn't bleed the quarters.
No room for me as well, with the 6'5".
Oh, you'd have really struggled. Yeah.
6'5" beam poles hanging around. But Bath did get underway in the second half pretty quickly. Obviously, you were at the game. Did that just come about from mistakes? I haven't been able to watch too much of the highlight. Did that come around more from mistakes, or was that just good play at the start of the half? Did they come out really sort of all guns blazing, or was it a bit more just field position?
As is the way with these things, combination. Just a combination. Like, they scored far too quickly after half-time. There's no way you should be letting any team score against you within the first 2 minutes of the restart. That, to me, says you haven't come out of the changing room. And even in Joe Muller's interview after the game, he did say we did everything in our power not to win it. And that is one example of where we tried not to win it, because we shouldn't be letting them score there. Nick David goes for the winger on the touchline and gets dummied, and it's quite a comfortable run in for Will Butt in the end. It's just one missed tackle and then one poor decision, and they're in. And that's just the level of professional sport at the moment. You can't afford to make one mistake, let alone two. So that was frustrating. The fact that it happened so quick meant the crowd got their tails up. We were sat in our little corner, effectively becoming part of a cauldron where Bath fans were getting excited, starting to believe. At that point, it becomes 12-10, and you're thinking, well, that's a big part of our lead just swallowed up in one go there after 2 minutes of half time.
And then the changes obviously came around the sort of 50th minute. The Nick David try, not a brilliant pass to Danny out the back. There's a few clips that have circled around on Twitter with some slow-mo shots.
Unbelievable pickup.
Picking up off his ankles.
Conditions weren't great, you know. It was greasy.
And it would look cold as well.
It was very cold. You know it's cold when they're all wearing thermals. Yeah. Tommy Allen was in the thermal. DC. Ben Spencer always wears a thermal. But
Joe Marler in the tights as well.
Yeah, I think that's just a trademark Marler thing now. He's like, right, I'm going to make this my thing.
Another one to add to the list.
Yeah. I'll be surprised if he's doing it in June at Twickenham, though.
Yeah, potentially.
Or is the final in May this year?
Good question. Not sure. But that try.
Better get that in the diary.
Yeah, get that one. Yeah, get that booked in. I might have to put that one off work the next day. The try comes in the 52nd minute. Ball comes out the back to Danny, picks up a few shoelaces, 1-2 pass, and Nick David almost walks in untouched.
That was so slick. Honestly, watching it live, I couldn't really clock where the ball had gone and how it had got there, but maybe Andre sold me with the dummy as well.
It just looked like we'd started to play a little bit more. It just looked like we were getting a bit more field position. The line out I mentioned earlier looked like it operated far better. Is that a fair comment?
I'd say so. Also, our defensive line out was good.
Yeah.
It was good to see us go up and compete, try and disrupt them a bit. And we did that quite a lot, which I thought was good to see. But yeah, just on that try, scrum, centre field, you should really be scoring them anyway.
And we often do, to be fair. We often score.
And we often do. We did our best to butcher it with the pass to Danny, where he managed to keep hold of it with his fingernails. But Andre takes that hard line and sucks in two or three defenders. And at that point, all it takes is one quick pass out to Nick David to cut through the gap and dot down untouched. So a really nice training ground move. You expect us to score it. And at that point, you're thinking, well, if it only takes bang, bang, a couple of shots and we're in, what's to say we can't go and get a bonus point? And at that point, I am thinking bonus point.
Here's my next question then. No more points in the game post the 55th minute of Piers Francis' penalty goal.
Really? Yeah. I didn't even realise. You're so engulfed in the atmosphere, you kind of lose track of all that. There wasn't a point for the last 25 minutes.
Nope.
Wow. It was still exciting. It was still nerve-wracking. We had chances. They had chances. We think we won the game. They then get a penalty and kick it into our
corner.
We're
then clawing away, trying to make sure that they don't get over the line, driving balls from the line out. It was thrilling. A thrilling 0-0 in the last 25 minutes.
And we did Also, you have two lads sent off. George Head sent off in the 79th minute. Ken is sent off with both yellow cards in the 81st minute. One thing I would like to ask you, obviously, given that you were at the game, there was quite a lot of chat about Finn Baxter impressing off the bench. And obviously, Lennox came on in the 62nd minute. George Hammond came on in the 62nd minute, as then sort of the tight head replacements, etc., then came on as well. But quite a lot of chat about Finn Baxter's impact in the second half.
So I thought Finn Baxter came on much earlier than I was expecting to see him. But I remember 55
minutes
him,
he came on. 55 minutes.
Yeah, at half time, he wasn't in the changing rooms. He was out on the pitch doing shuttle runs, warming up, and looking like focused, looking ready. And as soon as he came on the pitch, I thought he was great. He had really held his own. Scrum time, I mean, there was a couple that we lost, a couple that we won, fairly even. But he's young. He's coming into the cauldron on a Friday night in the wet and cold. And I thought he looked good. He looked pumped, held his own. Pleased with that performance, actually, because there's a lot of talk about Finn Baxter and how he's the protege to Joe Marler. He's going to be the next loose head that we have. And he's hot property. England under-20s captain. It's so hard when you're a front rower trying to break onto the scene, because you get all these accolades at a young age group level, but then you don't really get your Premiership rugby experience until your mid-20s. And it's hard to make a name for yourself. And it felt like Friday night against Bath could have been a good moment for him to lay down a marker. And I think he did that. So we now go into two games in Europe where he probably won't get as many minutes as he did against Bath, which is a shame. But he'd have loved to have carried on that momentum, and maybe we'll see him on the bench for Racing at home, where he'll get a few minutes. And I mean, I guess he'll be on the bench for the Sharks away. Who else would you play there?
Well, that's a good question. But before we move into Europe, looking at the table...
Just on that note, throw Finn Baxter in the mix against the Saffas in South Africa in the scrum. Oh my God, baptism of fire.
Yeah.
Go on, Finn, see how you go.
I don't know how hot
Make a
gonna...
name for yourself.
Oh, no, I wonder what the weather's going to be like in South Africa this time of the year. I don't really know.
Is it warmer than here.
Well, yeah, I sort of...
did I tell you my dad's going?
Yeah, dad, you know, Uncle Nick's going.
Did
in.
I tell you how much his ticket is?
You said like tenner or something like that, wasn't it?
So he sat behind the Quinn's bench. His ticket cost £7.
Ridiculous.
£7.
Maybe that's a... Well, I'm not sure we'd get much revenue for our home games. We started charging £7 for a ticket, but... Let's
another 10,000 seats.
Yeah, let's park the league for a little bit, but just have a very quick look at the table. Northampton, the only team to have played 10 games. Everyone else has played 9. And we sit in third, played 9, won 6, lost 3, 30 points, 2 behind Sale, 4 clear of Gloucester, 6 clear of Leicester and Northampton. Next game, obviously, is the big one at Twickenham. We do tend to perform well under the lights of big game, which often that we put on a good display, get 5 points. We are playing a Bristol side, maybe a little bit devoid of confidence, although have got a couple of better results, you know, drawing against Leicester this weekend. How are you seeing us at the halfway point? Obviously, Joe Marler mentioned it halfway through, well, at the end of his interview. We want to chase that home semi, and there's a lot riding on the next 2 or 3 weeks in Europe, but we've obviously then got to look forward to a bruising league campaign sort of post-Xmas. How are you seeing us at the halfway stage? Any results that you think we might have... You know, the extra one is the one that sticks out for me. If we'd have turned that result around and managed to cling on for the win at the end, we probably would be in second at this stage.
Yeah, a bit of a taste of our own medicine, that, wasn't it? With a last gasp defeat as opposed to a last gasp win. I'm very confident. I think we're looking really, really good. We're currently sat third on 30 points. Sale are above us in second on 32. So we're just 2 points behind them. Same amount of games played. Saracens running away with it at the top. We can forget them. We just want to come second now, I think, at this point. And who's going to stop us from here? I look down the rest of the table. We can beat anybody in this league. I look up the table. I think we can beat Saracens. Maybe we reserve that right for a Premiership final in May or June, whenever it is. But I'm just thinking now, we've got a comfortable cushion on Gloucester in fourth. We've got a win, effectively, a 4-point gap between us. We're next playing bottom of the table Bristol at our own big game. We don't lose those. We don't lose those. And when we play Bristol, we score 4 tries. So that, to me, is the benchmark. Anything less than that would be disappointing. We then go into the new year with Northampton away. That's a tough one. But they're not as threatening as perhaps they were last season when they made that playoff push right at the end of the season. They've just lost away at Gloucester. We got pipped by them last season with a penalty from Grayson, which I still don't think was a penalty, but I'm not the referee. So that's another game that, for us to be able to get a win there would be absolutely massive. So, I mean, they're all big wins these days, aren't they? But halfway point, third in the table, 2 points off second place. I think we're looking pretty good. Second part of the season, we'll get some injured players back. That'll be like new signings. As long as we don't pick up any more knocks going into the new year, I think we'll be okay. And I do think we'll get second place. I think Sale will tail off. I think they've got some big name exits they're still to announce. I think Manu Tuilagi will probably depart, given the salary cap issues, and they probably got him from Leicester for quite cheap, given what was happening there at the time. I think this is our season.
Big statement.
I do. I think it's a Premiership final of Harlequins and Saracens.
Well, as long as we haven't got to go to Saracens and actually play them there, that's fine.
Well, we don't. We've got to play Saracens at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And to me, that makes that game much more winnable.
That's a pretty good point, yeah.
That's far more winnable, playing on a proper nice grass pitch, big wide stadium, big atmosphere, which we absolutely love. We do it 3 or 4 times a year. They've got no fans. They won't sell out their tickets.
No.
They're not playing on a plastic pitch.
With an athletic
Marcus
track.
Back.
Yeah, Marcus, the injury. Farrell. We haven't
I've just seen Marcus post on Instagram, actually, of him at the Tyson Fury fight at the weekend. And there's a photo of him with Frank Warren and actually Wayne Rooney as well. And he's wearing a boot. So boots are never a good thing.
Well, we'll see how that pans out. Let's move on then to the Sharks. Now, we've had a bit of a chat about this in the last couple of weeks about how we attack the next couple of weeks in Europe. We're going to play the Sharks in South Africa, the Cell Sea Sharks. Some international superstars in their squad. Lekwayo Am, Khaleesi's in there, Mbombani, Nietzsche. I'm probably pronouncing quite a few of these names wrong, but Mapimpi, our old friends, Benny Tapperwise playing there as well. Plenty of international talent.
Love to see Taps play against us.
How do you see the next couple of weeks panning out? We've got the Sharks away in South Africa, first time we've ever been there, and then we've got Racing at home. Not great memories from Racing at home before the sort of last couple of years. I remember when they stuck 50 on us at home.
It was almost a catalyst, wasn't it? It was that season where we won.
Yeah, the COVID year. How do you see the next 2 or 3 weeks running then? We've had a couple of chats around what we think we can realistically achieve this year in Europe. We're playing 2 excellent sides, listed with international talent. But the chance to play knockout rugby in Europe is almost too good to give up if we sort of go at it full click. Do we just focus on the league and try and get that home semi? Do we rest players? Do we get minutes into players that they might not have done? I don't know. I don't know the answers. It'd be interesting to see how the squad travels, who maybe gets left behind potentially as a rest, or who doesn't get taken and, you know, isn't going to play on the bench. I'd imagine they're going to travel relatively light in terms of going to South Africa. They're not going to take, you know, 40 or 50 of the squad. They'll probably take...
You know they've gone already.
Well, they're going, I think, maybe today or tomorrow.
They're going today. Yeah. They're going Sunday, yeah. So they're going for a full week. Mm. Acclimatise, get used to the surroundings, get a training week done in their conditions. And I think that's a positive thing.
100%.
I think that will be really, really helpful. And that almost changes the narrative somewhat of going away to the Sharks. If you spend a week there playing rugby, I think come Saturday, you should be pretty good. So it's hard because if we were playing somebody at home first, I would say go all out and let's get a win. And at that point, you've won your first game in Europe and you're thinking, well, we're in the hot seat now. We're in the driving seat. We can make this what we want it to be. We're in control. Whereas if you lose your first game, it's very hard because you've got to really commit to change the outcome of the group stage and overcome a couple of results and actually progress throughout the tournament. So to be going away to the Sharks first is hard. Not many teams go there and win. To then play Racing the following week at home doesn't get any easier. It's good to be back home, but it's going to be a hell of a contest to do that. 2 really, really tough teams. I think, and I hate saying it, for me, I just really want to win the Premiership this year. Really want to win the Premiership. And I look at the other teams in our league. Only Saracens I can see in our league that can rival us for the Premiership. I don't think I can't picture Sale lifting the trophy. I can't picture Gloucester lifting the trophy. Leicester again, I can't picture it. I could only picture us and Saracens lifting it. And that is just an opportunity that rarely comes around. The league is so competitive. Every game we're having to scrape wins. Bath, we scraped to win. London Irish, we scraped to win. But we've got a culture of winning now. Champions mentality. We win those games. And I just think this season is as good as any to go toe-to-toe with Saracens in a final and get a win. And it wouldn't be the worst thing if we don't go that far in Europe. There we go. I've said it.
I know where you're coming from, but then also...
I hate it. It's defeatist mentality. It's just throwing away one competition. It's not Quincy at all. We go out and we want to win every game. But we're not going to win the Champions Cup.
I'm looking at it from a slightly selfish perspective that we're going to go to Paris in January and I want to see us at full click at the La Défense Arena beating Racing, but we don't know how that...
Marcus's first game back from injury would be nice, isn't it?
We've got a lot of rugby to play between now and then, and you're absolutely right. You know, I think it's a really good point you make, I think. If you win that first game in Europe, you can almost dictate how you want to let the rest of the group stage pan out. If you win the first couple and then we have a home game against the Sharks post Christmas, harassing away, obviously I want us to be at full click, but if we are in a good position with probably a good chance of going through the group stage, maybe then in that home game against the Sharks we can rest a couple of people pre Six Nations and all that sort of stuff. But I think you are right. I think this year feels a bit more positive in terms of the league than it did last year. It felt like there were some really good sides in the league last year. Leicester ran away with it for the regular season. Sarries obviously came back and looked phenomenal. Northampton made a big charge, etc., etc. But it felt different to this year. This year, I feel really good about it. Having gone away to Sale and beaten them, which is not something we often do.
Yeah.
We were so close to going away to Exeter.
Seem to have brilliant depth.
Yeah, we look in a good spot. Injuries, a little bit of a concern. Liner, Green, Northmore, etc.
But... Well, I mean, you're naming some massive names there. Liner, Northmore, Green, all instrumental in our Premiership winning season, the semi-finals and the final. Look at our team every week at the moment. I'm still filled with confidence. Bassett coming in on the wing. What a signing that's been. I look at that with real confidence. Nick David got man of the match against Gloucester and then he scores a try this week. He's got the odd mistake in him, but most players do.
Getting a bit better,
Lennox,
David, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. By the way, I should have talked about Lennox coming on against Bath. That kid can defend. Oh my God. He hits hard. I've been ever impressed with Lennox this season. So I think we've got a crop of young players that are actually finally coming through this season. They've been blooded bit by bit over the last few seasons. Now's the year for them to get lots of minutes. I think we'll see them double their minutes this year. Lennox has probably already done that. Oscar Bidd will definitely do that. I just think Will Edwards and Tommy Allen are going to rack up a lot more minutes than they did last season as well. So our depth, I'd say, is as good as it's ever been.
Before we wrap up then, let's look at a side. Let's pick our side for this weekend against the Sharks. Now, this is going to be tough because I've got no idea how we play it, who's going to travel, who might get rested, who's got injury concerns, anything like that. Marla, Walker, Lowe, probably.
I don't know, mate. I wonder if we might go a little bit French and try and win our home games and just try and cause some problems in the away games, but aren't too fussed about the result. I think Joe Marla going to South Africa for a full week is... I know it's not like going on tour, but he doesn't like doing that, does he? He's got a family at home. Think about the school run.
Yeah.
Also, he's got like a million kids, hasn't he? His poor wife, Daisy, is going to be having a nightmare for a week. But having said that, this is quite a historic moment going away and playing a South African side. Like, you probably want to play in these games. My thinking was the likes of Don Brandt are definitely going to play. Like, they'll look at this game and be really excited. And then on the flip side, you've got the likes of Danny and Joe, who towards the end of their career, they've done this kind of thing a few times before, international level.
But I suppose the nature...
Got to go away from young kids and their families for a week.
I agree.
We can't have Danny Kerr get injured. No. If there was ever a place to get injured, it's the Sharks away.
But I suppose the nature of going to South Africa is something so different. You almost want to be involved in it regardless.
Also, I'm chatting absolute breeze. Anyway, what player's going to turn around to Tabo Matson and say, actually, I don't fancy going to South Africa this week? Yeah. That's not the kind of club we are.
No. Well, look, maybe let's not go through a 15 then. Maybe let's just pan it out a little bit differently and see what you think. Drop us a tweet this week and let us know how you think this is going to pan out. Who we're going to play? What our starting 15 is going to look like? Who might travel? Who might come off the bench? Because I'm not 100% sure. It's not like we're playing in the league. It's not just another game in the Premiership. It's going to be a bit of a different feel.
Maybe because it's game one, we just go all out, full whack. Let's see how we get on. Go on, lads.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Drop us a tweet. I'd actually be really interested to see how people think we're gonna do this. If you are travelling, if you are making the trip to South Africa, travel safe. Have a wonderful time. Hopefully, Uncle Nick's going to get some good behind-the-scenes footage. We need to get him on camera duty, see if we can get some snaps of the boys. And let's look forward to a European campaign. Two big weeks in Europe, Sharks away, Racing at home, and then we're looking at a big game in a few weeks' time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Will, nice work, mate. Looking forward to another couple of weeks of rugby. Travel safe, everyone. Enjoy the trip. And come on, you Quins.
Come on, the Quins.